Good morning. I'm glad you can join us today in hearing God's word. I want to ask you this question. If someone were to ask you, what are the characteristics, qualities, or attributes that you enjoy seeing in your spouse? This is assuming, of course, that you're married. What are the attributes, qualities, or characteristics that you esteem or that you value or that you appreciate in your spouse right now? Now, if you're not married, let's turn it around a bit. What are the characteristics, qualities, or attributes that you hope to see in your future spouse? Do you appreciate or do you hope to find someone who's tall, short, someone who's funny, someone who's serious, someone who's perhaps more extroverted, likes to go out and do things, or perhaps more introverted, likes to maybe stay at home, quiet evening by the fire, assuming that you like fires or you have a fireplace or just, you know, chilling at home, reading a book or just watching a movie. You can think of a lot of qualities, a lot of characteristics, a lot of attributes that you hope to see or that you admire in your present spouse or, like I said, that you hope to find in a future spouse. Well, today's message is going to focus on the qualities or characteristics displayed by what the Bible says is a woman or a wife of noble character. And though the passage itself focuses on a woman or a wife, I suppose you could attribute or you could look at it as perhaps a future husband. But in particular, it talks about a wife or a woman of noble character. And what are the attributes associated with her? What are the qualities that we see demonstrated through her behavior? Well, if you've been following us the last couple of weeks and months, you know that we've been looking at I've been preaching on a message series entitled The Old Testament Women of Faith. And we're actually at the end of that message series. This morning we're going to be looking at Proverbs 31, what's called the Woman of Noble Character. Next Sunday we're going to have a wrap-up message or a sermon summarizing what we've seen in our message series through the women of the Old Testament, women of faith of the Old Testament. If you want to get a head start in terms of the next message series after this, we're going to be looking at what I call highlights in the book of Hebrews, specific topics that are frequently mentioned or repeated throughout the book of Hebrews. So you can start reading through the book of Hebrews if you like. That's in a couple of weeks. But this morning, again, we're looking at Proverbs 31, and I hope you have your Bible because we're going to be looking at a number of passages in Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31 in particular. And as you turn to those passages in your Bible, either a paper Bible or on your phone, if you have it memorized, that's great, but my guess is that you may not have the entire section memorized. But we're going to see two main characteristics or qualities or attributes, you can say, of this woman of noble character. Or ESV, I believe, says the subheading, the woman who fears the Lord. Two main characteristics. And I suppose you could look at this and you could find other attributes or other ways to describe it. But for our purpose this morning, we're going to say that these two main characteristics are one is that she's industrious. So a woman of noble character, a woman who fears the Lord, is a woman who is industrious. In other words, that she's hardworking. She's very productive. She produces things, either physical goods or you could say relational goods, or maybe perhaps even spiritual goods. And under this category, main characteristic of industrious, you could say that there's subheadings associated with being industrious. The first subheading is that we see that she is very diligent. Okay, so she's industrious. That's a big topic. And then under that is being diligent. And in particular, in look at verses 13 to 14. Let me read those passages. It says that she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. So it tells us that she's diligent in the sense that, again, hardworking, persevering. Diligent is someone who doesn't give up easily. The way I look at diligent, or a way to associate someone who is diligent, is like the Energizer Bunny. You've probably seen the commercial with the Energizer Bunny. Put in a battery in the Energizer Bunny, and he goes on and on and on. Doesn't run out of energy. Doesn't quit on you. Keeps going. This is someone who is diligent. And again, under the bigger category of industrious. The passage says, again, verses 13 to 14, that she seeks, she goes out, she looks for it, wool and flax, and works with willing hand. Verse 14, she is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. In fact, she sails, she goes out again. She doesn't expect the food, the goods, the produce to come to her. She goes out. She's diligent, searching, looking for it, right? Turning over every stone to find what she needs. Again, someone who is diligent under the main category of someone who is industrious. Another further description of, or a subcategory of someone who is industrious, is someone who is dedicated. Someone who's committed. Someone who is faithful to the job or to the task. Perhaps you could say someone who is sold out for what they are doing or what they have committed to doing. Look at verse 15. It says, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Then verse 18, it says, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 19 says, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. These verses indicate or give the idea is that she is one who is working long hours, working hard. In particular, verse 15 tells us that she's working, or she's dedicated to her job or her task while others are asleep, while others are taking a break or doing other things. She's out there doing her work. Verse 18 says that she works for long hours or a long amount of time. Hopefully it's not because she's doing a half part of the job, but I believe, again, that she's working long hours. She's fully committed to what she needs to do. Again, somebody who is dedicated. The last maybe further description or subcategory of someone who is industrious is that she is someone who is dependable. Someone who's loyal, someone who's trustworthy, someone who you could say is got your back, right? You can count on her that if she says something, she'll do it. If she's going to say that she's going to be somewhere at a certain time, you can count on it. She'll be there at that time. Someone who is dependable. Again, look at all these verses, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15. Notice how each of these verses starts. 13 says, she seeks wool and flax. Verse 14 says, she is like the ships of the merchant. Verse 15 says, she rises while it is night. Verse 16 says, she considers. Verse 17, she dresses herself. Verse 18, she perceives her merchandise. Verse 9, on and on. Verse 19, she puts her hands to the distaff. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor. Verse 21, she is not afraid. All of these verses, practically all of them, in verses 10 to 31, a good portion of them, a majority of them, begins with the word she, right? She's the one who's doing it. She's the one who's going out. She's the one who's working hard. She's the one who's looking. She's the one who's providing. She doesn't outsource her job. That doesn't mean that she doesn't get help from time to time or she doesn't ask for other people to work with her. But primarily, she is the one who is doing this. She's not depending on other people. Oh, hey, I'll hire someone else. They'll do the work. I'll sit back and just kick back and relax while they do all the work. She works with her own hands. It's kind of like if we have tasks or we have roles that we've been asked to accomplish and we don't do it, or we expect someone else to do it. Oh, maybe cleaning my room, right? Maybe washing my clothes. Maybe doing my homework. I expect someone else to do it for me. You know, I'll ask a friend, I'll copy off of their paper, right? I'll plagiarize something that I find on the internet. I'll just cut and paste it. Cleaning my room, you know, that's what mom and dad are for, right? Clean. My personal butler made, I made it in the shade, right? No, this woman of noble character who fears the Lord, she does it herself. Again, it's not to say that she does everything on her own. She doesn't need help. She doesn't ask for help. She doesn't look for help. But push comes to shove, she is the one who does these things. She's dependable. And in addition, notice verse 13 says that she's like the ships of the merchant. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 13 says she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands, indicating that she's doing this by choice, by her desire. She's not being forced to do it. Oh, maybe there is someone who's asking her to do it, but she says, okay, yeah, I'll do this. It's not that they have a gun to her head. It's not that they're blackmailing her, but she willingly does these things. Oftentimes, sometimes when we're asked to do something or certain things are expected of us, we may grudgingly do them. Now, again, it's not to say that from time to time we get tired or we get exhausted or maybe even burnt out, but you get the idea that this is someone who is willingly, voluntarily, if you will, doing the work, doing what's necessary. Again, someone who is industrious in the sense of, or seeing someone who's diligent, someone who's dedicated, someone who's dependable. They don't expect the work or the job to just automatically get done, fall from the sky into their lap, outsourcing it, expecting someone else to do it. But someone who goes and does it and spends long hours willing to put in the work, says she'll do something and actually does it. Our oldest son, Christopher, you may know, he's been to the church a few times, but you probably think, oh, well, Christopher, I don't know who that is. Well, one of the reasons why is because he's moved across the country. Okay, he's no longer, he was living with us at home after he graduated from college, Santa Barbara, and he looked for a while for a job closer by in the Bay Area. In fact, he had a temp job, I believe, in Sunnyvale, but it was only temporary. It wasn't something that, we're going to hire you for, it's a permanent position. He knew that it was only temporary. But he couldn't find anything in terms of appealing to him, and that was a permanent position. And so he actually took a job. He did find the job, or it may have been through a recruiter, But the job was in Jacksonville. And if you're not familiar with where Jacksonville is, it's in Florida. And Christopher decided to take that job because he had been looking in this area, in the Bay Area, for quite a while. Right? And he couldn't find anything that really was suitable for him. And so he took this job in Jacksonville, Florida. Drove across the country with my other son, our other son, Zachary. And then Zachary flew back. But Christopher drove across the country, took this job in Florida. And so when I told my mom, his grandmother, where Christopher is or where he's working, her reaction is that she always says, "Florida? What's he doing there? Can't he find something closer?" And I always explain to her, that's her reaction every time I tell her that. I say, "Well, you know, he looked. He tried to find something closer. He, was very, very diligent in following up, looking online, actually having a recruiter or a headhunter look for positions here, but he couldn't find anything that was suitable for him." And so he decided to take this job in Florida, in Jacksonville. For us, as we look at our own situation and our own standing, is God challenging us to be like this woman of noble character, industrious? Someone who is hardworking, someone who is productive, right? Maybe industrious, the antonym or the opposite of someone who is industrious. It might be someone who's lazy. The book of Proverbs in particular talks about someone who's lazy. It uses the words sloth or a sluggard to describe someone who's lazy. Maybe if we're talking about in modern terms, someone who's a slacker, right? Someone who's barely scraping by or not even making much, if any, of an effort to do what they need to do. Can someone who is industrious, further seen by someone who's diligent, someone who's dedicated, someone who's dependable? The second major characteristic we see in this woman who fears the Lord, or woman of noble character, is the quality or the attribute of someone who is insightful. Okay, not just someone who is industrious, but someone who is insightful. And further ways to describe someone who is insightful fall under two categories, right, that we see in these verses. Someone who is insightful is someone who is contemplative. They think about what's going on, what to do, what might be the best way to accomplish it, when might be the best way to accomplish it, how it might be accomplished, right? They're contemplative, they're thinking, they're mulling it over in their mind. Someone who's contemplative. Verse 16 is that she considers a field and buys it, right? She's deciding, hey, does this make sense? Should I spend my resources? Yeah, I think so. Because you know why? Because I'll be able to produce this. I'll be able to use the land for this. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Not so much that maybe she works out, goes to the gym, or I guess now that with shelter in place, at home lifting weights. I think it's a metaphor for somebody who is strong, not just physically strong, but strong in character, right? Strong in determination. And she develops that strength. Again, not just arm strength, although perhaps it is talking about muscles or physical muscles, but I would suggest that it's more inner attributes, inner characters. So what can you do? What can she do to develop them, to grow them, just like a person would with their physical muscles? What can you do what can she do to develop her inner muscles, if you will? Verse 18 says that She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Again, perceiving, understanding, recognizing, right? Spending time thinking about, what can I do to increase, or is this valuable? What can she do to make it valuable or profitable? She perceives, she recognizes. Maybe if you're in investments, what's the market say? Is this a good time to buy or sell? Verse 21 and 25 says that she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. And verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Again, she's aware of the changing conditions, and she's not afraid of it because she's prepared for it. Again, someone who is contemplative, someone who's one step ahead, if you will, or trying to be one step ahead of events or what's going on. Okay, that doesn't mean that she's always right, but at least she's spending time preparing, thinking about not just the here and now, but the days to come. Somebody who is contemplative. Under the major category of someone who is insightful. Another, you could say, subheading of someone who is insightful is not just someone who is contemplative, but somebody who is caring. We see this quality of someone who's caring in a number of the verses. In verse 20, says this, that she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Verse 26 says that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. In other words, as she looks around, she sees people who are in need, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe perhaps even spiritually. And she does what she can to help them, to minister to them, to care for them. Verse 26, again, she's educating or trying to influence people with her character, with her skills, right? The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 27 says that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, that she's providing for those in her household, those in her family. She's not expecting that, hey, other people are going to take care of them. Again, not to say that we can't receive from other people from time to time, but she's not doing it expecting others to do what she can do for herself. I like this balance between her own family, taking care of her own household, and also looking out for those who are, you could say, outside her family, those who are poor, those who are suffering, those who are needy outside her family. Sometimes in life, we get the sense of either or. I either focus on my own family, and I don't care about what goes on outside my household, or I'm so focused on other people that I neglect those within my own family. Those, you could say, in my inner circle, my siblings, my parents, my children, my spouse. We see that this caring involves both outside the home and those inside the home. Not one or the other. Again, as we think about the two major characteristics, being industrious, being insightful. Just like with the outside the home, just like inside the home, I would argue that both are needed. And lastly, before we wrap up, we look at verses 23 and 28 to 29. It says that her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband, the gates of a city were usually considered the town centers, or the town halls, or the meeting place, or the squares, the city squares, the city center, you could say, the main meeting place of those in the town. The gates of the city, again, people passed by. People needed to pass by the gates in order to enter the city. So if you wanted to talk to people, if you wanted to see people, that's where you would be, in the city gates. And so he is known in the city gates. In other words, we could say perhaps he's a big shot, okay? He's well known in the city. Maybe he's got this high standing, maybe the job that he's in, maybe the mayor, maybe some, you know, well-known position that he's got. Whatever it is, her husband's known. And I would say by association, his wife reflects upon him and his standing. That what his wife does reflects on who he is as a person. His wife has a huge impact on his role as a leader within the city by the fact that he's sitting at the gates among the elders of the city. Not elders meaning old people, senior citizens, although they may be older in age, but elders meaning people who are the leaders, the rulers of the city. He's in a very high position, prestige. And his wife reflects upon his leadership, you could say. Verse 28 and 29 says this. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. It's her children and her husband who are heaping praise on her. It's not her that hired this PR campaign and going around saying how wonderful she is. Perhaps like President, what's going on right now with the upcoming elections. Not that. Do you ever see, you ever notice, wonder why people are, you know, being on the air, commercials, you know, advertisements, they're in essence promoting themselves. Not to say that they're egotistic or that, you know, it's all about them, but they're going out to let you know about them. That's not what we see in this woman of noble character. It's her husband, right? It's her family. It's other people who are, in essence, promoting her. Hopefully, it's not because she's paying them, but I would say that it's a willingness on their part. They can't help but tell other people about how wonderful she is, how they bless them. Her children tell her, "You are highly esteemed. We appreciate what you do for us." Lastly, looking at verse 30 and 31, which is a conclusion. And in the conclusion, there is both a word of caution and a commendation. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain." That's the caution. "But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her deeds and let her works praise her in the gates." That's the commendation. Again, the caution is that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. In other words, that if a person, whether it's a woman or I would even argue whether it's a guy, a man, focuses on more external things. Charm, you know, how persuasive you are, what you say, how you say it, what you do, how you do it. Beauty, physical beauty, how you look, how you present yourself. These things, charm. You know, you could be charming and yet inwardly, you're thinking something completely counter, something different. You're charming, but inside you're thinking, this person's lame. This person's not worth it. You know, I'm just doing this. I'm just saying this. I'm just being this way just because I want something from this person. Charm is deceptive. And beauty, physical beauty, is vain, right? It's something that doesn't last, right? It's not permanent. You think of movie stars, right? Guys and ladies, right? As they get older, oftentimes some of them get plastic surgery, you know, do everything, all these creams, all these lotions to make themselves look younger or try to make themselves look younger. Beauty's fleeting. It doesn't last. It's an external thing. But notice the commendation in verse 30, the end of verse 30 and 31. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise. Let her works praise her in the gates. There's this contrast with the person who's charming and beautiful, external things, with someone who fears the Lord, which is more of an internal attitude. And I would argue it's something that lasts. It's something that's permanent. It's something that isn't just going to fade away. It isn't just a fad here and now. But it is a permanent, because the Lord himself is permanent. The Lord himself is lasting in all his attributes. And the person who recognizes that, that's the person who is focused on more eternal matters, not temporary matters, not just merely external things. Perhaps for us, God has been calling us, encouraging us, maybe even convicting us in attributes that he wants us to grow. And I started off the message by asking you, what are qualities or characteristics that you either admire in your spouse right now, if you're married, or if you hope to be married, what are attributes or qualities or characteristics that you hope to find in your future spouse? Now, a better way to ask that question or look at that question, or the way I like to phrase it, is that if we're not married, or even if we are married, is not to focus on who we are married to or who we hope to be married to. Attributes, qualities, characteristics that I hope to see, that I want to see in my present spouse or my future spouse. But to look at it a different way, from the other side, what are characteristics, what are qualities, what are attributes that God wants me to develop in myself so that I am able to present myself to another person as a future spouse, right? Or as a current spouse. What are attributes, not expecting them to change, but that God wants me to change or to develop or to grow in? Again, the focus is not on someone else, but the focus is on us. Not to say that we're selfish, we're self-centered, but growing, maturing, developing attributes that God is calling, challenging me, encouraging me to grow in. Again, it's not looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, but you could say becoming Mr. or Mrs. Right for someone else. As we talked about this woman of noble character, whether you're a guy or whether you're a woman, What are qualities or attributes that God is calling you to develop, to grow and to mature, perhaps to change in your life? Not just because you want to get married, not just because you want to please another person, although those are good things. There's nothing wrong with them, but that you ultimately want to fear the Lord. You ultimately want to praise God, that God is the one who gets the praise, gets the glory, as you grow, as you develop, as you mature in these qualities and characteristics. What are ways in which you can do that? You can begin to do that, I should say. It's a process, actually. It's not just going to happen overnight. It's just not going to happen next week. But it's a process. But you've got to take a step. You've got to begin that process of allowing God to use you, to grow you. And perhaps who can help you? Who can encourage you, right? Who could pray for you? Who can give you feedback or give you wisdom or encouragement as you move in this process? How can you grow and how can you develop into a person of noble character, a person who fears the Lord? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful, who is gracious, who is holy, who is righteous, who is good. Father, I pray that we would have this mindset of someone who fears you, someone who is fully committed to glorifying you, wanting to live in light of who you are. God, that when people look at our lives, they really see you. They don't praise us, or don't praise us primarily, but they praise you. God, give us wisdom. God, give us discernment. God, give us humility in making changes, making adjustments, continuing on in certain attributes or certain skills or certain areas of our life. Not just because they need to be changed or we want to change or some people tell us to change, but again, to glorify you, to praise you. Again, we thank you. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, go on and have a wonderful day, and God bless you.